Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Who yelled? Oh, no. I know who it was. I know. Well, you didn't really yell. You just, you know, that was my first time. Not really. I'm at a public era at church. A couple of weeks ago, I was welcoming a family that's been on vacation for about 3 weeks. And I got the first name right, but I got the second name wrong. Michael Henderson and his family are back, and they've been back a couple of weeks now. But I actually called him Michael Hendricks. And I asked my wife, I didn't even realize I said it. I asked my wife, did I say Hendricks? And she said, it didn't ring a bell for her because she knows who Michael Hendricks is. But a lot of you didn't know who I was talking about. But that's who I was talking about, Michael Henderson and his family. But I went to church with Michael Henderson Michael Hendricks years ago in Free Will Baptist. So it's been a long time. I hadn't even thought of him, but he just came out that Sunday. But I asked you to forgive me for my error. And Michael was saying, yeah, we almost left the church over it. Not really. He said he was apologizing to me so much that he even offered me the church, but I turned it down. I'd have welcomed that. You know, now I'm pissing with you. But anyway, are you guys ready for questions and to hear these great, wonderful people? Are you ready? All right, let's do that. I think that's everything. Know them that labor among you and that have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That was Paul. And Paul actually says the same thing and explains it in 2 Timothy. He says this. This is how you get to know them. Know my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, know my faith, know my patience, know my love, know my endurance, know my persecutions, know my sufferings. And it goes on and says, even in the persecutions and the sufferings, the Lord has rescued me from all of them. Everyone, who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So that's part of our walk with God. They persecuted him. They're going to persecute us. But how many of you know we keep walking? This is how we fight our battles. Amen. Give God a praise. Seated here. We've got some microphones. And we have a list of questions. First question. What do you enjoy doing in your free time? In your time that you're not doing ministry? What do you enjoy doing? Anybody?
I see why y'all put me on the end. Okay. Everything is meticulously planned, I promise you. I actually enjoy multiple hobbies. The one I do the most is disc golf. Yes, it is a sport. I know some people are like, that's not a sport. You go out there in 90-degree weather with 100% humidity, it is a sport. But I play disc golf a lot. I do play some video games. With kids, that has decreased rapidly. I like to read, and I think that sports. I watch, live, breathe sports. So, yeah.
I told Pastor Terry I needed clarification on this question because I don't remember what free time is. But I have two young kids, so usually my free time is like at the splash pad or the park or but in all seriousness, I like to decorate. I love seasonal things and kind of decorating for holidays and seasons and doing that with my kids. I love to be outside. I like hiking. A long time ago, I liked kayaking and paddleboarding and stuff like that. And I believe there will be a season in the future where me and my kids will get to do that together. So those are things I like to do in my free time.
Wow. Absolutely nothing but what comes to mind at the moment.
That would be true. Okay. No, I like working outside. I love cutting grass, making my yard look good. So that's what I like doing in my free time.
I know this is going to sound strange, but I like mowing the grass. And I like gardening, so that's what I like to do, and spending time with friends.
I like watching her mow grass. I mowed grass for a lot of years, and I found out a little bit later that Brenda is 1/4 Cherokee Indian. And really, and she loves being outside. She'd rather be outside than inside. So she took the grass cutting away from me. She really did. She said, I'm mowing the grass because it's therapy to me. And I said, you get all the therapy that you want, honey. I like reading. I like going out, and having fun, having dinner and things of that nature. I don't have a particular hobby other than just really reading and all.
I'm the same. I like hanging out with family and playing with that new grandbaby. That's what's occupying any free time I have.
Yeah, free time. That sounds nice. I'm not real sure what that is, but when I have
it. We pay a lot for free time.
Yeah, I would say our family is our free time. That's a treasure. I would say reading. If I do have time, I love to read. And this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people. I love to organize. So if I see a project and there is a day that is a free, I'm jumping on that. I'm like, let's organize. So I do love to do that.
I do it. I love it. I can ditto Pastor Terry. I have to hide the keys to the riding lawnmower so if I want to mow the grass, because Lynn loves to mow the grass. So I'm with you there, brother. My favorite thing to do is to be with Lynn and to hang out with her. So that's so fun. And I love to play pickleball and racquetball. And, of course, I love music.
Me? I love to hang out with this man right here. And also, I love cooking. I love to garden. And I love organizing. So that's why I was always telling him, organize your stuff. So, yeah. So that's what I do when I have free time.
Amen. We on next question. Next question. How long have you been married? How did you meet? And where did you go on your first date? Anybody? We'll start it out. Married 56 years, been knowing her 59. We dated for 3 years before we got married. Amen. How did we meet? I was in a rock and roll band, and we was playing at a birthday party for our drummer's friend. And she comes walking in, and it just... I mean, I couldn't remember the music. So, but that's how we met. And let's see, what was the other one? Where are we going on the first date? I know.
Pizza Inn.
Pizza Inn. But now let me qualify that. That is the first time. I think it's the first time I could drive. I met her when I was 15, and we dated. And I said this word in front of Pastor Terry Wilson. I said we dated in the parlor. He said, "Parlor? What kind of parlor was it?" You know. No. Living room. We dated in the living room. I didn't have a license. Somebody had to show for me every time I wanted to go see her. But that's how we met and how long we've been married and where we went.
We've been married 48 years plus. We met in junior high. We was playing basketball and this pretty girl was sitting in the stands over there, and I walked over and I said, "You're going to be my wife." And she said, "Get away from me." But look who's sitting beside of me today. And you want to tell them what our first date was?
You said we went to the movie.
Yeah.
I don't remember it, honestly. I think it was a kung fu movie, you said.
It was a Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah, which I don't like.
That's why she doesn't. Austin and I met at Gardner Webb. We've been married for 6 years. We met in the theater shop at Gardner Webb. So Austin actually minored in theater and worked in the theater. And I was only there because it was a required art appreciation class. But that's where we met, was in theater. We were acquaintances for a few years. And then we went on our first date at Pleasant City Pizza in Shelby. And we ran into his parents and his youth pastor and a youth from the youth group I interned in, and a leader from my youth group. It was very eventful, and I don't know how all those people found us there, but that was it.
And I'll just add that she told me later, much later, that after the first date, that the only concern she had was how much I talked. So, But she said I knocked it out of the park at the second date. I took her to Cracker Barrel, so that just eases everything. So,
and then I beat him at bowling after that. So,
okay, Lynn and I have been married 16 years, and we began our relationship talking on the internet, just talking for a year. Yeah, we're so different because she was in the Philippines and I'm here. And we would talk every morning, every night for over a year. And then I went to the Philippines, and our first date was at, it's not a Filipino restaurant, we went to Outback in Makati City, which is a suburb of Manila, which is a huge city. It's like New York City. So that's where we met. I got to take her ministry team out to dinner, which included a congressman at that time for the nation of the Philippines, and he's a senator. So I was rubbing shoulders with some high class people because of her, because she had a big church that she was a ministry. She'd been in the ministry for 20 years with the youth ministry in a huge church. But okay, that's how we met, and that was our first date.
Yeah.
She's there.
We've been married 29 years. We've been together for 36 years. Met at 14. Our first date was his 15th birthday. We met at the movies and walked. We met at high school, but we met our first date was at, we couldn't drive, so we met at the movies on our first date. And then went across the street, walked across the street to McDonald's.
I met my wife because some of my high school friends bet me that I could not have her talk to me.
Get out of here.
I did. I said, she's cute, and Matt Guffey and a bunch of my bandmates said, she's out of your league, Wilson. Leave it alone. And he said, you're from Ruth? And she's one of those Ruth girls from Liberty Press, because they saw her driving up in this nice car and just thought, you know, we're just two worlds apart. In no way. But I didn't realize she's just as broke as I am. That was her uncle's car that was dropping her off. So she came out at lunch one time, and I says, you look cold. And I offered her my jacket, and the next day, I said, you still look cold, and I offered her my jacket. And before long, my bandmates were paying for our first date, because that was the bet, because I didn't have any money to take her out.
That's great. One last thing, and the time we met, a little bit of story. I won't go into length about it, but in the rock and roll band, I did James Brown act.
Get out of here.
I feel good. But anyway, Brenda came in, and I wanted her to. I didn't want my guitar to fall on stage, so I done picked her out anyway. So I brought my guitar to her, and I said, "Would you mind holding my guitar?" And she went, oh, yes. Now, that's how I saw it. What did you do?
I said, okay.
I still saw it that way. Okay, now, next question. How do you handle married life and family while being in the ministry? How do you balance the two? Pastor John.
Basically, now that we have empty nests, but back when we had kids, our family, my family was the ministry at that time until, you know, I think God was preparing me for preaching ministry by being a father to my kids and a husband to my wife. Okay, and what was the other part of that question? Let's see, what else was that?
How did you handle it?
How did I handle it? Well, Faye really helped me handle it. I mean, you know, she was, all I was just saying, yes, honey. And believe it or not, all the kids, everybody calls her
honey. They only call me honey because that's what you called me. They thought that was my name.
So we just balanced it out. It was just being flexible, you know, on both sides, you know, because you have a wife, you have children, and then you have the church ministry and all that. So you just have to balance it out. And that's the way we did. We worked together, and, you know, we was just flexible.
One day at a time. No, I'm good.
Yes, honey.
Well, I think, like John said, even when you, even if he wasn't in, like, occupation, like, as an occupation, it's still, your family is your ministry, and has to be. It not only affects your marriage and your relationship with your kids, it also affects your ministry in turn if you don't put that as a priority. You know, and it can be difficult, but it's also, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do this as a calling, as a full-time calling. And just this past year, Amanda was able to stay at home. And the few days I stay at home with the two kids, I'm like, I couldn't do it. You couldn't pay me enough. You couldn't give me enough to do it. I love my kids, but all day, every day, just me and them, I don't know about that. So it's a combo here. I mean, it's I'm only able to do the ministry because of what she does for our house, for me, for our kids. You know, I couldn't do it without her. And, you know, how do I handle it? I'm sure sometimes I don't handle it very well. You know, I think that's just being transparent. I'm sure there's times that it just, you know, it can get stressful and things of that nature, but I try to, again, try to make them first. And there's a lot of times that we're doing stuff here and the kids are running around with us. And I just remember distinctly there was a time that I was setting up for kids' church and I turned on the disco ball and Titus is running around dancing in the disco ball while I set up. So that's kind of the things you get to see and you get to do. And so it's a blessing to have kids and be in ministry that way. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I just want to say that to be a ministry leader, it really requires you to be a servant. And the same thing is true in your family life as well, that when you go in with the attitude of being a servant to your family and finding the needs that need to be met and meeting them, it's really the same skill set if you look at it that way.
Amen. For us, as for me, really, that actually impacted us was learning how to set priorities and learning how to schedule time for family, for date nights, for things of that nature. So that's very important starting out and was very important throughout, really. But you have to make sure that you don't let ministry overwhelm you in your relationship. With ministry, you're on call 24/7. I mean, I've been called at 2:00 in the morning to settle an argument between a husband and wife, you know, and they call me at 2:00. And
sorry about that.
I wasn't going to reveal names. It really wasn't him. It really wasn't him. But now I've lost my train of thought. Anyway, no. I told them that morning, I said, hey, can y'all just get some sleep and we'll talk about it in the morning. No, it's just too bad. So I had to counsel them during that time. But those things happen. But one of the things I had to learn to do is make sure that priority, you know, God is always first, but my highest priority is my family, my wife and family, other than the fact of being able to do things that God wants to do instead of crowding it out.
When Terry went into the ministry, I was just real anxious because I didn't want to be a pastor's wife. And when I was younger, I told him, I said, I'll never be a pastor's wife. So don't say what you won't do because you'll end up doing it. But it's been a wonderful time in my life because I've felt like God's been with me all this time. And he has put me first. And that makes a big difference when your husband puts you first.
I've not always done that. I remember in the Free Will Baptist, we were married, and we were married then, and had a child, Scott. And the pastor wanted all the men to come and pick up bricks and clean up around the church. And we had already made an appointment to go to Carowinds with our then small son. And I was on the same day, that same Saturday, and I told the pastor, yeah, I'll be there. So I came home and told Brenda, we can't go. Wrong move. We can't go. She said, why? We've already made plans. Da, 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 da. And I said, well, I've told the pastor. And I said, I've got to go pick up bricks for God. That set us back for about 2 months. You know, so... But I learned the hard way. I really did learn the hard way to keep the priorities, you know, and to set the priorities for family and not let it be crowded out. Now, emergencies have to happen, but picking up bricks for God is not what wasn't an emergency because I made this commitment first.
Me, like Miss Brenda, when I was in the Philippines, I told my, you know, my friends and at church, I told them, I'm not going to marry a pastor because I saw that pastors are like married to the ministry. Most pastors that I saw in the Philippines, they don't have time with their children. They don't have time with their family. So I said, I will never marry the pastor. But look what I got. It's a surprise. I never thought that I'm coming to America, but in our situation in our family, since we are just the two of us, because the children are already they flew away. They're gone. So just me and him. And for us, we are intentional. We have our date night together. Make sure that we have that thing. Like, usually, like, every day.
Every day is a date night.
Because usually we eat together every day, all day. I mean, not all day, but, like, we are wearing, like, lunch and dinner, especially when I am not working. So, and also we have open communication, open honest conversation. How are you? Do you have any stuff that you're going on today? How's your day? You know, we're talking, we're open, and not guessing what are your feeling right now. So we are talking. I'm okay, and I like that. So, and we pray together also, and we both recognize that marriage is a ministry too. So we need to know the need of both of us. And that's part of the open communication also. And I understand that my husband is called by God in the ministry, so I need to support him in every step of the way. So do you have any?
She's the best.
I'm going to say this one's a hard one. This is probably one we struggle with, wouldn't you think? We have a large family. We also do a lot with our family, with the church. So the one thing that comes to mind, because we do have hiccups where we have to constantly readjust, communication. I think communication is key. We have to just constantly talk to each other. And when we feel that tension, hey, you're gone too much or you're doing too much here, we communicate that. And sometimes it's in a loving, pleasant way, in a godly way. And sometimes it's more of very harsh words, and we're just open about it. It's just like, hey, I've had enough. So me being real, that's just us.
I concur. I think it's the biggest challenge any minister will ever have is work-life balance. And anyone that believes otherwise hasn't been around ministry long enough. And the thing, as someone who's been bivocational for a long time, the thing about ministry as opposed to working in the regular jobs that I've had is there's this trump card that we get to use inside church. You guys get to use it as well. Sometimes you'll come and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, and someone will say, a friend will say, I don't know if I'd do that. And you'll say, but the Lord told me. See, we spiritualize things sometimes to add weight to what we want. And as a minister, sometimes I can spiritualize what I want. Well, this is the ministry. I want to do this, Miss Gina. And she can do the same. And so one of the parts about communication is getting the heart of God. Now, ministry is important. I'm not belittling it. But it's not more important than my wife. Ministry to my wife. It starts there, ministry to my family, and it flows from there. If I don't get this right, I don't get anything right. So it starts at home, and it flows from there. And if you ever get that upside down, how many people do we know that anointed by God, gifted by God, got a calling on God from God, but because they didn't get that right, it gave place for the enemy to come in and create issues? And so we're constantly, and we decided a few years ago, it's been a year or two ago, of how we're going to communicate. We got real with our communication. We for 20-some-odd years, we did not communicate well at all. And one of the things I love about church and ministry and anything we do for God is it forces you to be Christ-like. You can't do this without being Christ-like. And being Christ-like is being transparent, being vulnerable, being honest, and dying to ego. You just can't do it. And so it puts you in a position that you're either going to be Christ-like or you're going to, your time is limited in what your usefulness will be. It's like going to the gym. It's painful, But if you're gonna, if you want to be strong enough to do what God's called you to do, you got to pick up the weight. You got to run the race. You got to be persistent, and you got to be dedicated.
Can I add something just real quick to that? I think, you know, there's an expectation of ministers and ministers' wives. Right? Don't get it twisted. Ministers' wives feel as much expectation as much as ministers. And I couldn't imagine. I think there's a little extra added difficulty there with you guys of having both of you being ministers in the church and being spouses. But I think when you get home, it's you have to make sure that you're not putting that expectation that is on you as a minister at home. You and the wives and the past the ministers, we both have that expectation, understandably so, but you have to make sure when you get home, usually we're not putting it on each other. We just are living in that, and so you, when you get home, it's almost like you have to take that expectation and say, take that away. That's where you can be honest and open in communication. And so it's making sure we don't put that extra expectation of we need to be these perfect people or things like that. And we know that that's not what people expect of us, but that's just sort of the struggle you battle with as a minister daily. So,
amen. We're not going to get through all the questions, but here's the next one. What's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned as a pastor or pastor's spouse? So we'll start with the ladies first. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned being a pastor's wife?
What have you learned?
The lesson that I learned is always depend on God and trust Him. Sometimes, in my case, I don't know what's going on, but I am not in the position to ask or, like, for example, in the ministry, if there's something kind of like really complicated going on in the ministry, but that will affect my husband. And I don't want to be like nosy to know, but I have to pray and depend on God that everything will be okay, and I'm praying for him. You know, because it's kind of sometimes when you know and you see that your husband have something that's going on, but he couldn't tell me what's going on. So I just need to, you know, zip my mouth and not ask anything, but depend and trust God for whatever that he's going to do in his life and in the ministry.
That's a hard one, too. I would say trust. Trust that whatever he's going through, and if he's that he's probably carrying something, and he's either not sharing something at the time, and there's a reason behind it, it's either to protect you, to protect the family, protect someone else that shared something, and just know that there's something behind it. I think I would say that would probably be the thing that I've learned most is trusting him and knowing that when the time comes that I'll know and handle the situation when I need to, the way I need to handle it.
I think the main thing is don't ask too many questions, because I've always been one, what about this, what about that, what that person say, what this person say. Yeah, and so I have learned just to maybe ask one question and just move on, because it can cause a big conflict. And Tears even told me, okay, who's the pastor, me or you? So I let him handle things. I back off.
Wow, you know, that's a big question. I've learned a lot of things. I've learned how to be patient. I've learned how to be flexible. I've learned how, I don't know, maybe to follow. You know, because sometimes, and what I mean by follow is follow without an attitude and follow without ugly feelings. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Sometimes when you're married, you have to get used to the other person. And then when you get used to the other person, and then they say God called them to do something else, it's like you dealing with the human man and then the spiritual man. And you'd be like, listen, it's just too much going on. You know what I'm saying? And so you have your plans, and I think sometimes people don't realize this, is that you have your own plans of what you want to do, but actually when a person has been called into ministry, you no longer have a plan. You have to shift all of that and be flexible to what God wants you to do and how he wants you to do it, but you have to follow with the right attitude. You have to submit with the right attitude. You have to learn to be flexible. Which is not, it's easy to say it, but it's not that easy to do it. But I do remember when John pastored a church full-time, and I don't know why this sticks with me, but one Sunday he was talking to somebody, and I was like standing over there, he was over here, and I called his name. And I didn't know he was talking to somebody, but I called his name, and when I turned around, he stopped. He stopped the other person and said, excuse me, and he held out his hand and like, what do you need, honey? And so with that, in that moment, I knew that wherever we had to go as far as ministry, that it was going to be okay, because I wasn't going to get left behind, so to speak, that I was first. And you might say, well, Miss Faye, that don't matter. But it does, because I married the man, not the ministry. And I think people have to understand that, you know. So a lot of things for me, like I said, the flexibility, the trusting, to follow, just a lot of things. But this comes with, I want to encourage somebody that if your husband, if you're younger and you're calling to ministry, your husband's calling to ministry, you have to trust the process. You have to trust God. I agree with what Lynn said, is my biggest help is just knowing God is with me. He's going to lead me. Whether I agree or not, it's going to be okay. And in that submission, not only to John, but to God, to say, Lord, I don't see this, I don't understand this, but I trust you to lead us, to help us, to live it peacefully. I hope that helps.
I think two things that I've learned being married to a minister. If you don't know this, I also am a pastor's daughter as well. So I really grew up in ministry too. So this is all I've ever known. But I've had to learn that God is going to be the one to convict and to sanctify my husband, especially as it applies to his role as a minister. If your husband is like an electrical lineman, you don't go to work and watch your husband do his job. And even if you did, chances are, unless you are also an electrical lineman, you don't even know what he's doing enough to correct him. But in ministry, especially if you've grown up in ministry, I watch my husband do his job very frequently. And I've also done a lot of the things that my husband does at his job. And so for a long time, it was really difficult for me to not feel like I was supposed to be the one to tell him, you know, you really should have done that differently. So it took a long time for the Lord to teach me to release that control, that it's his, that God and the men that he is in ministry with are going to handle anything that he may not be doing perfectly, and that I have to let that go, unless I want to invite my husband into my classroom where I teach and let him tell me what I'm doing wrong, which sounds terrible. So I think that's something I've had to learn. I've also had to learn that God will be his defender. Austin tends to kind of be more quiet and to contemplate when things, I guess, when conflict arises, and I do not. I am a very confrontational person, and I want to talk it out, and I want to get to the bottom of it.
Those questions that they were talking about, those questions, I relate to that, because I think there's a lot of questions that happen, and I'm one that I like to sit and think about what's going on. And so there's a communication, and it is a communication, but like she said, there's a time for me to let me kind of sit and work it out, and then we can start talking about it.
Right. So I have to remember sometimes that God is his defender and not me, and that I don't have to go stand up for him when I feel like there may be conflict or something like that.
Amen. I need to ask Brenda a question. When did you just ask me one question?
This morning.
Okay, I stand corrected. I stand corrected. Stand corrected. Thank you for asking just one question. That's good. Real quick, how do you get to know people in the church?
Well, we have over 22 some odd ministries, and so I would encourage anybody, get involved in a ministry, and that's not just to try to get you to be a worker bee. It really isn't. It's for your benefit. The more involved you are, and the beautiful thing about this church, and Pastor Austin and I was talking about it, Pastor Charlie and I was talking about it, it's such a big, diverse church with so many different backgrounds that are infused in this church. So you're going to find an area in this church somewhere that is going to be right in your zone of genius that God has called you to. And you start there and you get to know those folks. And then you're going to get to go over to this ministry, maybe get involved with VBS 1 year. And VBS has got, I think everybody in here volunteers for VBS, it seems like. So you'll get to know a lot of people just, you know, working in those things. But I say get involved, you know, not to be a worker bee, but just the more you're involved, you get to really get to know people and have fun.
Yeah, get involved and be a friend.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a friend, you're going to have to be a friend. And one of the things that I guess one of the biggest struggles in ministry, and that's a question, but one of the struggles in ministry is actually we have so much diversity, and we have so many different personalities that it's difficult sometimes to, as a minister, to read where you are and be able to give you the attention that you need at that time. I'm a hugger. I don't mind hugging people. We had somebody to come to the church. She's not with us now. She had to move because of her health. But I remember her coming, and I reached to hug her, and she jerked her body back. She said, "Don't touch me." And I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend." But I didn't walk off. I continued to talk to her, what's your name, and told her who I was and all that and everything. And she said, "I don't like people touching me, and I don't like people hugging me." And I said, "I will honor your wishes." You know, I said, "But we're going to have to get used to that as other people because we just don't know." But anyway, after about three months, but I made it a point to go speak to her almost every Sunday and ask her how she's doing and all that. But then after about 3 months, I walked in the church, and she sort of walked to meet me, and she put her arms out, and she said, "I'm ready." And I'm saying, "For what? What are you ready for?" She said, "I'm ready for my hug." I said, "Oh, okay." And she really hugged me and everything, but she was fine. But I think to read that and to honor people's space and what they would like, but you still have to approach them to see if, you know, you can be a friend to them. But it takes that first step, and sometimes you don't make all the right moves, but you learn. You know, but that's what it is about people. You learn people. We're all different. We're all different, but it's perfectly okay. Anybody else want to add to that, or is that enough?
What was that? I was listening to the question.
You didn't hear what?
The question.
Did
the question
Adam have a belly button?
The question.
That was the question.
The question was, can I get $40? Never mind. No. The question was, how do you get to know people in the church?
Okay. I agree with all with what's been said, but I think what we have to do is be intentional. We must be intentional. You know, I think Pastor Terry alluded to it. You know, in order to have a friend, you got to show yourself to be what? Friendly. And I think we have to be intentional. It's a big body, and we're all not the same, but we can accept each other's differences by being intentional to get to know that person. So I think that's the way that we get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ, is being intentional. You know, I like what I see Elder Doug, he does every Sunday. He's going around greeting people or getting to know people, and he's being intentional about it, not just singling him out, but a good example is seeing how he does that, you know, and it don't matter. It's just people are people, and we all, you know, go through different things. We look different, you know, and all that, but we're still God's people. So I think we have to be intentional about getting to know each other.
Amen. Amen. We're going to close, but one of the things is, Pastor Terry Howell, how do you look the same as you did 20 years ago? And my first response is, you need glasses. You do need some glasses. But really, the anointing of God brings youthfulness. When there is a presence of God in your life, and you're walking in that presence, and not afraid to walk in that presence no matter where you are, it will spark youthfulness in your life, you know. So Brenda don't look her age, you know. Everybody say, yes, that's true, that's true. Brenda don't look her age. Matter of fact, she looks younger than I do. But what question? Who said amen? William said amen. William. Okay, no, we're fine. You want to say something about it?
No, I really think it's the blessings of the Lord. When he was in the hospital, you know, he was looking really sick, and I just kept praying. I said, Lord, restore him, restore his youth. And God has restored him, and he's still restoring him. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Amen. Amen. We've got so many other questions, but we do have a comment that I want to state. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. Here's the comment. My pastors are all men of integrity and full of God's word, and they love God's people. They are trustworthy shepherds. So thank you very much. We love y'all. We really do. We have a great staff, a great group, and we go out together as a staff sometimes, and they get to know each other. I remember getting in the van and going out in the country and on top of a hill. Y'all, I don't know if y'all remember that or not. What are we here for? I said, get out and look. So everybody just got out, you know, and just looking at the mountain scene and listening to the birds and everything. And I think one of them said, what are we supposed to be looking for? You know, I said, you're not looking for anything. You're just taking in what God's created, and we need to do that together. You know, so we have bonding time in relationships. It's not all about ministry all the time. And a lot of times when we go out to eat together, we don't even talk about ministry, unless it's a dedicated meeting. We don't even bring that up. We bring up relational stuff. But we want to thank you so much for being here. We want to thank them. I really thank God for the staff, and I thank God for the directors. You guys do such a wonderful job of caring for your ministry, and I want to thank God for all the members. Without you, we couldn't do what we're doing here today. And we just want to say thank you. And as a matter of fact, before you leave today, when we do stand up, turn around and talk to the person that's behind you just for a second or two. Just get to know them a little bit. But thank you. So if everybody turns that way, you won't meet anybody. So the next row behind you needs to do that. That's a difficulty. I have so many uh-ohs in ministry. I got one recently, but I won't bring it up. But
Oh, please, please bring it up.
Can't do it.
I'm begging
but
you.
But I'm very transparent. I really am, but I won't bring that one up. But anyway, do we have announcements?
Yeah, real quick, we want to put this on your calendar. If you got kids going back to school, July 27th, 6 to 8:30 at the Forest City Pool. I think it's called Callison's, isn't it? That's where we're having our back-to-school bash and splash, so make sure you're part of that. We've got all kinds of different classes that's just started up this month, so make sure you're part of that. And save the date. Parents, if you're a parent in here and you have children in school, you'll want to hear me on this one. On August the 2nd, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., August the 2nd, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we have educators from Raleigh and locally here that are going to be educating you as parents on the implications of AI. I'll be talking about some of the theological challenges we're going to have with it, but you need to be informed of how this works and how it's affecting your students right now. And so we have that coming, but you'll want to be here on August the 2nd, 10 a.m., 12 p.m. It will be in the coffee stations area up at the main church there. And before we get out of here and close, we want to stop real quick and pray for Bobby Joe there. They're waiting on a heart transplant. So if you will, let's just bow our heads right now and say, Lord, you are the great physician. You are the healer. You're El Shaddai. You're Jehovah Jireh. You are our supplier and provider, Lord. And right now, as Bobby Joe is waiting on a heart transplant, Lord, we're believing that you're going to supply the very organ that they need right now, and you're going to orchestrate the hands of the physicians, that it's going to be a smooth operation, Lord, and there's going to be restoration in the body right now. We believe it, we claim it, not because we want it, but because you said it, Lord. You said in your word, you'll heal our disease, and we're standing on that right now, Lord, and believing with Bobby Joe and the family right now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for coming. God bless you.
If you are a new visitor, we have gifts for you. Meet the pastor at the sound booth. New visitors, come to the sound booth. New visitors.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.